This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Julia Jacobs with Tisha Eek in the studio with me. Earlier, we were discussing why immunity passports might not be the best idea, during this COVID-19 pandemic. But now we're moving on to another pressing issue that might have gone under the radar because of COVID-19, the draft Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040. So back in February of this year, which I think to some seems like maybe a few years
ago.
KL City Hall, or DBKL, began displaying the draft Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040. Or KLSP 2040. So what this is, it is the highest planning document for Kuala Lumpur and contains insights, goals, policies and recommendations to guide the development of Kuala Lumpur for the next 20 years. Before the plan is gazetted, however, it is mandatory for DBKL to publish the draft for public viewing and participation, meaning you get to see in advance how your neighbourhood will be affected by development, if at all, in the next 20 years.
Crucially, it also provides you with the avenue to raise questions and objections. So if you notice anything adverse in the plan, for example, on issues surrounding land usage or zoning. And residents associations such as the TTDI Residents Association and Selamatkan KL, which is an organisation that advocates for proper city planning, have been working really hard to dissect this document. It's about over 200 pages long. And they're trying to identify areas that may need more clarification from DBKL. So together with like-minded community members, their intensive study of the document has identified many issues with the draft plan, including contradictions, errors and more.
So to find out more about these issues that they've discovered, I got in touch with Leon Kue, who is the coordinator of the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group, working in conjunction with the TTDI Residents Association. So I asked him to walk us through some of the issues in the draft plan, and I started off by asking him to give us examples of what is missing in the plan.
Yes, there are a few things that we've picked up. Let me just start with the first one, which is that the definition of a structure plan under the Federal Territory Planning Act. Now, that act is the one that governs why a KL structure plan needs to be in place. And from our previous discussions about the structure plan, it is the highest planning document for Federal Territory of KL. In terms of the definition of the structure plan itself, it is supposed to be a written statement accompanied by diagrams, illustrations, and other descriptive matter containing policies and proposals in respect of the development and use of land in the area. So the emphasis here is policies and proposals. Okay. If we look at the previous KL Structure Plan 2020, which was gazetted in 2004, it contains hundreds of proposals about what will be done, what is proposed to be done, for example, conservation of green spaces, protection of parks, etc. Mm-hmm. In this draft KL Structure Plan 2040, we have found that the use of the word policy is barely existent. Okay? Mm. There's very little use of the word policy. In fact, references to policy are only to national policies, as in like national housing policy, national transportation policy, for example. Yeah.
Okay.
But we struggle to find any statements in there which say it is the policy of DBKL to ensure the protection of parks or to ensure the conservation of existing forest cover. Right. Okay. These kind of statements are missing. What we do find are what they call goals or strategic directions or actions. Okay. Now, the question is, if these are intended to be policies, why don't you just call them policies? And it may sound like we're splitting hairs here, but in reality, when it comes to interpretation, this is going to be very important. A policy is defined basically as a course or principle of action adopted or proposed. Okay, so We're talking about principles here, right? And these are things which you're supposed to stick to as you go along, okay? If you talk about a goal, which is the nomenclature adopted in the Structure Plan 2040, then you're talking about something aspirational, something that you want to aim for. It does not necessarily mean that it is something that you will be bound by. Mm-hmm. Similarly, it's a strategic direction or an action. All of this are driven by a goal. So the question then is, are you actually expressing an intention to be bound by what you're saying? Or are these just statements which you can choose to depart from in the future? And this is inherently something which needs to be clarified by City Hall, by DBKL, in relation to the content of this document, because the Federal Territory Planning Act does require them to state policies and proposals. And it would be very important. It's fundamental that they clarify what they mean when they say goals, strategic directions, or actions. Are these principles and are these proposals which they will be bound by? Because that is the intention of the Federal Territory Planning Act, that City Hall is bound by the principles and proposals that are set out in the structure plan. That's the first point. And this is a fundamental point that we, you know, expect to engage with City Hall on. We also found that the user-friendliness of the document could be improved. It's got plenty of nice graphics, illustrations, etc. It endeavors to align itself with the Sustainable Development Goals, for example. We have also found at the same time that in trying to peruse this document, the accessibility and the ease of going through this document requires a, shall we say, an elevated effort.
To put it mildly.
And if we compare it to the contents of the KL Structure Plan 2020, the one that was gazetted in 2004, i.e. the previous structure plan, that previous document was a lot more accessible and much easier to read for your typical layperson. And again, we are talking about residents of KL who need to go through this document to try to understand its contents, to get a sense of what is being proposed for the neighborhoods and sub-districts that they live in.
That's right.
So one example we found was that in the previous structure plan, there was a sectoral breakdown of sub-districts. So they would lump a couple of sub-districts together. So, for example, you would have Sentul Manjalara that would all be placed together, and there would be a strategy for them, for example. Then you had Wangsa Maju Maluri, which would be Wangsa Maju stretching over to the Cheras side. There would be kind of a strategy for those sub-districts. Then you would have Damansara Penchala, for example, yeah, and a strategy for that sub-district. Bukit Jalil Sapute, Banatun Raza, Sungai Besi, and then city centre. Okay, so there were six zones, if you like, with character and definition and proposed strategies for each of these sub-districts or zones, if you like. That's missing from this draft KL structure plan. Therefore, a resident living in Cheras, for example, who wants to zero in on what is specifically the plan or the strategy for Cheras would have to read through the entire KL structure plan, which is, you know, not a thin document, to try and discern what is actually in store for him or her in Cheras. Similarly, a resident of Setia Wangsa or Wangsa Maju will have to read through the whole document just to understand what it is that is going to happen to their sub-district. And from a user-friendliness point of view, we find that it's quite an effort for your typical person to try and understand that. So we would be suggesting that DBKL rethink this and try to sectorize the sub-districts a little bit so that it is easier for residents to understand what is intended for their sub-districts.
I mean, that makes sense, isn't it? You're going to want to look how your particular area is going to be affected. So obviously you're going to look for, like you said, sectoral sort of documentation to show how your particular neighborhood is going to be affected.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not a stretch to do this because it has been done before.
Precisely.
In the previous plan.
That's right.
For the in the interest of accessibility and user-friendliness for residents, we would recommend that this continue to be adopted for this current structure plan or this new draft structure plan. Next point that we wanted to highlight was that, of course, there are many illustrations and graphs and figures in the draft KL Structure Plan 2040. We have found that there are many, many errors in the illustrations. For example, there's a spatial management plan which seeks to set out what the management of space will be like throughout the whole of KL. Mm-hmm. We have found inconsistencies throughout that plan. For example, land which is vacant or undeveloped has been categorized as existing development or built up, mm-hmm. for example. And we found that land which is supposed to be parkland has also been inaccurately categorized as existing development. So these are inaccuracies which we found throughout those representations. In other parts of this draft structure plan, we've also found where there's supposed to be an existing snapshot of land use in KL, that there are again multiple errors throughout the figure, throughout the graph. Land which is supposed to be commercial has been categorized as residential. A existing condo which has been completed and in operation for more than 10 years is represented open space.
Gosh.
And institutional land has been represented as commercial. Okay, so we have found instances, examples of all this peppered throughout the visual representation. So there are fundamental errors throughout the document. And we wanted to highlight that because it is important, therefore, for residents to be aware that they do need to look at the document, and especially in their respective sub-districts, to verify that whatever they know on the ground tallies with what is being represented in the plan, because there are multiple mistakes all over. Next one that we were going to go through was shopping centers and shopping malls, for example. In the previous structure plan, there was representation of what is existing shopping space, what is committed shopping space, and you know, these were illustrated in the plan to show what is available in which area. Now, that was in 2004. You can imagine the, shall we say, explosion of retail and shopping space that has happened in the last 16 years, right? This current draft structure plan 2040 does not have that kind of representation. It does not show the location and spread of shopping areas, shopping centers, shopping malls. And we would recommend that this be incorporated in the structure plan because it's fundamental to show how much shopping space has already been committed or built in KL and allow residents to evaluate whether that continues to be sustainable. The issue here is that the proliferation of malls, and this has been an issue which has been highlighted by Bank Negara and many other authorities now, that has contributed to the overhang that we have been experiencing and will continue to experience. Even more so with the COVID-19 situation, which has now been playing itself out over the last few months and will continue running for quite a long while into the future. So this is an area which we believe DBKL needs to provide more focus on in the KL structure plan, because the proliferation of shopping centres, retail spaces, shopping malls is very different today compared to what it was in 2004. And residents need to know, are entitled to know, what the state of the situation is now and what is the contemplated situation over the next 20 years? Is DBKL going to allow more shopping space, more retail space? Where is it going to be located? Are they going to put them into these transit-oriented developments all around the MRT stations and LRT stations and not call them shopping space, but call them mixed commercial or mixed development, but actually they're all shopping spaces? One other area we've identified is transit-oriented developments, or TODs. Now, because of the increased transport infrastructure around the Klang Valley, it's understandable that you know there will be focus around trying to make these stations a gravity center, which is fine. At the same time, we have found that there is a very focused effort on intensifying development around the transit-oriented developments, and that's something which residents need to pay attention to. For example, there are actually four proposed transit-oriented developments which are not actually in KL, which are actually located in Selangor, but which DBKL is proposing to bring into the KL definition of a transit-oriented development. So example is the Bandar Utama MRT station, which is across a six-lane highway, separated by a six-lane highway from the KL border. And we find that DBKL is proposing to extend the TOD into the KL area and propose very high intensity development in connection with that TOD. So that's something which residents will need to be very conscious of because of the accompanying traffic implications and high intensity development, which they are probably going to find landing in their neighborhood if these TODs are implemented. So we have found that there are actually four such TODs which are sitting in Selangor. There's Bandar Utama. There is the Setia Wangsa station, which is actually sitting in Selangor, but which apparently is being proposed to be spread out into the Setia Wangsa section. Then there's a proposed TOD at Pandan Jaya and a proposed TOD at Kepong Central, all of which actually sit in Selangor, which DBKL is proposing to widen and enlarge into KL. Yeah, and so residents in those areas need to be conscious of the fact that there are proposals for high-intensity development and accompanying very heavy traffic implications if these TODs are implemented. So these are questions which we would seek for DBKL to address in the draft structure plan.
Okay. Yeah, but, you know, Leon, this is, like we said, you know, it's a 200 and plus page, it's a juggernaut, right? And it can be really intimidating to so many residents, especially, you know, who might need help going through this document to actually understand how it will affect them. So aside from seeking it out themselves, you know, where can they get some help or some advice on, you know, how to go through this plan properly?
There are three resources that residents can tap on. The first one would be the Member of Parliament of their respective constituencies. Okay.
Okay.
Secondly, would be the resident associations in their respective neighbourhoods or townships or sub-districts. And thirdly, would be Selamatkan KL or Save KL Coalition, which runs a Facebook page at Selamatkan Kuala Lumpur. Residents should try, if they need clarification or they have questions or queries, to reach out and connect with any of these three resources to get a sense of how these plans are going to affect them.
Okay. And DBKL has given a deadline, which is on the 18th of May, for public feedback and objections to this draft plan. You know, and these, of course, as we've mentioned many, many times, is plans for KL for the next 20 years. But, you know, with everything that's happening, you know, we're all at home, there's a movement control order in place. I guess, you know, to what extent can this actually be considered a valid public process if the public can't even, you know, get together and gather to dissect it and to go through it?
That's a very important and crucial question. It is a big question as to the validity or legitimacy of the public process that is being conducted now. And this does need to be addressed. In a scenario where there is no movement control order or a government decree of the sort that we have been experiencing, then maybe this public process will be fine. However, what we are finding ourselves in is a government-decreed shutdown, if you like, or a restricted movement, mm-hmm. where the public basically cannot engage with each other and with the authorities like DBKL or even the land office, etc., to understand the ramifications and implications of the proposed structure plan. So in the absence of the ability to conduct a proper public engagement consultation process among residents, between resident associations, with the authorities, with planners, with architects, etc., how much of a substantive public process do we find happening? I think one would say that there's hardly much of a public process happening at this point in time. So the question then is whether this is a valid public process and whether DBKL actually should be extending the public objection process to take into account the MCO. The government itself has already recognized that the MCO, you know, requires different action, and they have already announced moratoriums for companies in terms of filings with SSM, with Securities Commission, with Bursa. And similarly, on the public engagement side, in terms of public processes like this, we would expect that a similar moratorium actually be applied, i.e. the public objection process for the KL structure plan should be postponed, or the deadline for the public objection process should be postponed to a period that is pegged to the MCO. So, for example, 3 months after the expiry of the MCO.
Mm.
Yeah, and indeed, I think various resident groups, including Selamatkan KL, have already been expressing these opinions to DBKL that this is the appropriate thing to be doing.
So that was Leon Kwe, who is the coordinator of the Safe Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group, working in conjunction with the TTDI Residents Association. So what Leon just highlighted are only some of the many, many issues that have been discovered in the draft Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040. There are many more areas of concern that need looking into, and we all should really be concerned about those as well. And we will be discussing some of those next week as well on the Daily Digest.
So just to recap Leon's advice, if you need help dissecting this plan, it is a big document, it's over 200 pages, you can reach out to your MP first. Or alternatively, you can get in touch with your residents association and maybe band together with your neighbours to go through that document. And another option, of course, is to get in touch with the folks from Selamatkan KL through their Facebook page, or you can email them at skl.secretariat@gmail.com and copy Momali, that's M-U-M-A-L-I 0404@gmail.com as well in that correspondence. If you notice anything adverse in the plan, you can record your objections, comments or queries with DBKL. You can also provide feedback or complaints online at dbkl.gov.my/epandangan. Remember to ensure that you have documented proof of the objection, comment or query either in the form of an email to DBKL or an acknowledged objection form.
Yes, and you know, just to engage with other residents and neighbours about your objections as well, so that as many people as possible in your area are aware of the issues that you have raised. And, you know, I guess the more the merrier in that sense, right? The more the impact.
Definitely, yes.
And we just can't stop stressing how important this process is, since this draft plan contains DBKL's proposed development policies for the next 20 years. And, you know, considering the rampant overdevelopment that we've seen take place before, it is really vital that all KL residents scrutinize the proposed changes to land use, to zoning, development density, recreational areas, transportation, so much more. It's a very, very important document.
Yes.
So I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. But if you'd like to drop us a message, look us up on Facebook, just search for BFM The Bigger Picture, or you can always tweet us at BFM Radio or send us WhatsApp messages at 018-789-8899. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest or on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. is another episode of Try This at Home. And today we will discover more about bullet journaling and getting organized with guests Rebecca Joe Rushdie, a KonMari consultant, and Roshini Mukaya, a mental health blogger at Chukop.club. So we're going to leave you now with Everything Is Wrong by Interpol. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.